finding the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on the TV screen, but it's on the radio.
And you're listening to the National Intel Report, and I'm Dr. Nick Begich, today sitting in for John, and we're talking about technologies and the impacts of technologies. And today's subject's been a little bit around about, but we're dealing primarily with the whole issue of privacy and privacy-related technologies today. And Rita, are you still on there with me?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. You had a question or a comment.
Anyway, we could touch on the technology and the feasibility of, right off the top of your head, what would the Empress do, the Empress 2 is an electromagnetic pulse ship?
Well, let's talk about that. You know, in terms of aircraft, there's two things, and you were dead on right. You could interfere with the avionics, the things that actually control the airplane's ability to fly, but you can also disrupt the operator. And what the military is now calling and it's their phrase, it's called controlled effects. And the Air Force has actually got a directorate, the Electromagnetic Directorate, that published an article in June 2004 in their publication called Horizons, which gets into this controlled effect of using electromagnetic tools, essentially, to affect not just equipment or software, but also to affect, ultimately, the human operator. And it's a subject that we get into a lot of detail on in an upcoming book we're releasing in a few weeks on this whole idea of interfering with biological systems with external sources of energy. Now, the other issue of, you know, kind of tying that together, you know, in terms of people that aren't necessarily controllable entities but have a lot of political potential, you know, there's a lot to be said for John Jr. and what might have happened in the future. The fact is, you know, perhaps there are some people that maybe aren't corruptible, or maybe aren't corrupted, that would have brought out issues that otherwise aren't being brought out. You know, the idea of corporate control of the country has been an issue that goes back to the early 60s in the administration of John Kennedy. And, you know, I think when you start to think about where corporations sort of deviate from the rest of us, it was really in the last hour. They don't have a soul. They don't have a consciousness. They don't have that very thing that should drive the public policies that come out of our governments. They don't have one. They don't have that value system or that compass that human beings are given. And I think this is where we sort of lost our path. You know, corporations and prosperity is one thing, and capitalism is one thing, but corporations are not capitalism. They are a creation, a fiction, a living organism with rights and eternal life under U.S. law, yet no soul.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's driving
I think you're kind of connecting what I was trying to say, I've kind of taken it a little bit further, because I start to get into the faith issues, because what we really have to think about, what we get is this kind of monolithic government where they've got to have this core group of people, and they've got the same kind of similar ideology, call it paternalism, call it whatever you want, but it's unbalanced. We've got this kind of unbalanced situation. And when we start to talk about balancing it, you know, because I've noticed I get carnivore sometimes. And
yeah.
I notice what they do, the people that they'll do it to me, I'll say a word like voyeurism. Or I'll try to talk about cures for racist society, you know. So the people that they've got, the cult that is it is sabotaging my emails and such. Oh, by the way, I sent you an email. Did you ever get my email?
Couldn't say. You know, I get so many of them.
Okay,
it's
well,
really hard to tell.
I'm going to try to send you another one, but I'm having problems getting emails through sometimes. So
I hear the music coming up again. I'm going to let you go. I appreciate the call. And again, if you want to call in right after the break, 800-313-9443. And this is Dr. Nick Begich.
I'm Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stachmiller.
And this is Dr. Nick Begich sitting in for John today, and we're talking about technology-related issues. You know, this whole area of advancement, you know, when you talk about privacy-related technologies, you know, and throughout the day, I've had an opportunity in my earlier broadcast. I have a show that runs on Wednesdays on this on the RBN network on this same station that folks are listening to, and it's on Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and it's really dealing with technology issues. And we've had 2 hours earlier today, an hour just a little while ago, and we're working into our fourth hour on technology topics. And I can tell you, we've really barely touched the surface, you know. And in the earlier program, I mentioned what the European Parliament calls or refers to these technologies as technologies of political control. I mean, think about that. I mean, the European Parliament, you know, one of the biggest political bodies for starting to influence European policy, looks at these technologies and says, hey, wait a minute, you know, we need to take another look and really resist the direction in which these technologies are headed, which is for more directed and controlled society, one predicted by Zbigniew Brzezinski in his book Between Two Ages, written when he was at Columbia University. If you ever have a chance to see that book, you'll find that it's not just a storyline, it is the history. It was written over 30 years ago and reads like a history book on what happened socioeconomically around the planet. Some of the technology predictions, because that book was about technology and its impact on society, were dead on right. But where we sit today is the place he predicted before he founded with others the Trilateral Commission and other policy think tanks that have taken us to this place. We are about to see the collapse of human liberty and freedom, and it's being sliced away wholesale now on a backdrop of fear and paranoia. And I want to say what happens to people in environments of fear is it increases stress levels that you can look at the physiological symptoms. And what you see is very incoherent brain patterns, the kind of patterns that don't lend themselves to the kind of thinking we need in the country right now. It's the type of brain pattern that leads to erratic flight or fight kind of a syndrome, which is really a dangerous place for civil people to be. And using fear as a motivator is a cheap trick to keep everyone heightened up on ideas in a disproportionate level of fear. I mean, think about international terrorism. It certainly is responsible for a lot of death in the United States. If you add it all up, you might get 5,000 people over the last 10 years. At the same time, medical malpractice, and I said this in the earlier hours, was responsible for killing over 1 million people in the same 10-year period. Yes, terrorism is a big issue, but should it generate the level of fear that it's generating? And what is behind this war on terror is really a war on the American population for control. And, you know, here's what governments fear the most, including our own. It's an idea that all military planners look for, and it's called spontaneous revolution. And I'm not talking about people getting violent or crazy. I'm talking about people just one day waking up and using the political systems that are available to them to create change. And we've seen it in the Philippines. We saw it in Eastern Europe, largely nonviolent in Eastern Europe, when people hit the streets. And there was no leadership, per se. It was just people knowing that there was a need for change. And I think this country is reaching that point of knowing that there's a need for real change in the direction that we're headed. And I think the institutions are still there that we can actually perhaps see that change. But we are at the 11th hour. It is 5 minutes to midnight, and we have an opportunity to make the change for not just this generation, but for future generations to come. And it comes by open debate and discussion, the kind of discussion facilitated by the RBN Radio Network and others, becoming, you know, the alternate media is becoming quickly the media of choice because people are looking for the truth and looking for a new direction. And, you know, human beings, each of us, have incredible potentials. And the technologies that are increasing and augmenting that potential are fantastic. It's really not, the technology is pretty neutral, you know. The airplane can deliver the mail or deliver the next load of bombs. It depends on the operator. Technology is neutral. But when technology that can affect the very essence of life on the planet is being developed in secret, outside of the purview of public scrutiny, there's problems there. And it doesn't mean that we have to know how to build this stuff. I mean, any more than we can fix our automobiles. But we ought to have an opportunity to discuss the concepts, the things behind them, and make sure they line up with American values. And I have a caller from Maryland hanging in. Are you still with me?
Yes. Thank you. I really enjoyed the show, and I hope John Stettmiller is feeling good and hope he can get back soon, and you're doing a good job of hosting the show.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. You know, we've not been on this end of the radio but about a few weeks, and we appreciate that comment.
You really come up with good information. I'm reading Webster Tarpley's book, Synthetic Terror.
Yeah.
And it's a good book. I haven't finished it yet. I'm reading like 3-4 books at one time, and I kind of bounce around from one to the other. But it talks about Operation Gladio, where you know, in order to, in Western Europe and Asia and other countries where various intelligence, Western intelligence agencies would set off bombs and create acts of terror to blame on the Communist Party.
Right. And, you know, Tarpley and I lectured together in Switzerland a few years ago, right after 9/11 on the 9/11 issue. And, you know, there's a long history and many citations over the years of where our military has deliberately created those kinds of circumstances, whether it be interacting with coups that toppled governments. I mean, the reason Americans, you know, when you and I travel around, people like us. I mean, they like Americans. They like our personalities. They don't like our national policies because we tend to interfere with a lot of people's governments. You know, the Shah of Iran we put in, we ended up with huge problems in Iran.
Well, sure.
We have a whole history of that kind of interference.
Well, I did a term paper in college about how Mossadegh was overthrown by the CIA. Well, I think it was OSS, the precursor to the CIA.
Right.
In the early 50s.
Right.
And people wonder why. And even in novel form, you know, which came out two or three years ago, The Quiet American, where the novelist points out, Graham Greene, how the CIA would set off bombs in South Vietnam to blame on the communists. So this is nothing new. But I heard something interesting on Alex Jones' show last night. And I caught part of it. Somebody called in. And somehow we got a hold of a speech by John F. Kennedy shortly before he died, where he mentioned the fact that one day in the future, members of secret societies would invoke, terror as, or violence as an excuse to take away our rights.
That's exactly it. You know, this is, here's the thing about those societies, as they know what the potency of individuals fully actualized is. And it's what our founding fathers understood. You know, the reason this country was built on the individual was the recognition that from each individual springs incredible potentials. And by allowing that to mature in a context of pretty strong freedom, great things have happened as a result of that in this country. But the secret societies, those that understand the power of human potential today, on the backdrop of technology, are using that knowledge to turn against us. But that same knowledge goes back centuries, millennium. The understanding of human health and physiology, as an example, and the ways to impact it, has been understood for centuries. The problem has been today. Now, the models to deliver on that secret knowledge is becoming more widely held. So the power of secret societies is at the verge of changing, because when human beings recognize their full potential as created in the image of the Creator, then great things are about to happen. And I think that's the threshold we're on. The counterbalance is that.
Sure, and isn't it ironic how so many members, prominent people in the CIA, are also members of Skull and Bones, which is a basically satanic organization.
Right. You know, and there's a lot of them. I mean, there's a lot of organizations. If you, and I'm sure many of the listeners to this network have certainly familiarized themselves with some of those organizations over the years. Even before I got into the work of science and technology in terms of reporting, I had read most probably at least 100 different secret societies, histories, cults, and organizations, and they all have certain threads that run through them. But ultimately, they're about affecting free will and affecting the consciousness of human beings. And now we have technologies that can do these things in the hands of those that would further seek to control the outcomes of human destiny. And I think that's where this battle of creativity, the potential of using our creativity for good or evil, always rests with human beings. And ultimately, within this democratic republic, as it was founded, rested with the average person being that source of power from which governments could spring. And today, governments spring also from their power and control of technology. So each of us has to have at least, not a mechanical knowledge on how to build the stuff, but at least a discussion. So like we talk about lasers today, everybody talks about lasers. We'll be able to talk about the emerging technologies of the 21st century and make sure we guide the policies that make sure we maintain our freedoms and liberties, that these technologies can actually amplify instead of stifle.
That's true, and isn't it ironic how, I mean, there's something new under the sun, you know, like the Mayans would sacrifice people by the tens of thousands in order to control people and keep them in line.
Sure.
And to keep them under their thumb. And now we have these intelligence agencies that people think are acting in our behalf, but in reality are killing untold thousands to subjugate us and to pull the wool over our eyes. And ultimately, they're serving the same master.
Absolutely. We're headed into a break. I hear the music coming. Thanks for the call in. I appreciate it. The call in number is 800-313-9443 if you want to get on the conversation today. And this is Dr. Nick Begich.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Headline news. Activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The council to get some food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm. Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
The National Intel Report, and this is Dr. Nick Begich sitting in for John today, and I hope he's feeling better, and we're talking about technologies and their impacts, and I know we have another caller hanging on. I don't see him on my monitor, but are you still there, caller? Okay, the caller, I guess, has dropped off the line. Again, the call-in number is 800-313-9443. You know, I'm kind of glad we've drifted this direction in the conversation today because, you know, technology is driven all obviously by the intentions of human beings, ultimately. It's not the technology that's good or bad. In fact, if you go back to the inventions of new technologies historically, there's always been a lot of debate surrounding them. If you go back to the invention of the airplane, a lot of people were very upset. You know, they said if man was meant to fly, you know, we'd have wings. And that was literally the argument. When radio was invented, there were huge complaints about that. You know, I mean, the idea of man trying to duplicate what nature does, what creation is all about, is really what mankind is, you know, kind of oriented to do. You know, we're created in the image of a creator that did that, you know, so we try and do that too. That's what human beings do. The question is, what do we do in terms of good, bad, right, wrong, the moral values that apply to those things that we create? You know, back and the best creation doesn't always come from where you figure it should. You know, if you go back to the airplane again, nobody believed, no scientist in the world believed that a heavier-than-air aircraft could fly. And yet two bicycle makers did, and they figured it out and did it. And, you know, when you think about creativity, it's the one thing we all share in common. It can be a bicycle maker, not the PhD that creates the next solution for whatever ails us. You know, it's a question of intentionality, a question of God-given intuition, in many cases more powerful than even knowledge is that God-given intuition. And, you know, I think we see solutions on the horizon. What we need to recognize is not what others are telling us about how powerless we are and how much of a victim we are, because we're not. We are so potent as individuals. Every major thing ever created in human history started with one or two people deciding that they saw it just a little bit differently and acting in a way that they believed to be right and true to further that faith, you know, and that's what it's about. I think that's what it's about. I mean, it's, you know, the technology is the challenge today because it is so powerful. It'll determine so much about what happens to all of us in the future and our children and even our great-grandchildren. So what happens in this generation has the potential to free us. I mean, we need greater intellectual capacity. We need systems to heal our bodies. We need alternative energy systems. We need all these things that creative genius on the planet today can resolve, especially in the advent of the kind of technologies we've evolved. You know, we talked about privacy technologies and the things that are coming from that, but on the flip side, on the positive side, think about this in the next 5 to 10 years, which we're going to see instantaneous language translation. So I can have this kind of conversation go through very sophisticated translators and be able to understand conversations on the other end of the phone. Within 5 to 10 years, we're going to see that happen. That is going to change everything. When people can communicate across all boundaries and barriers, whatever acceleration in technology we're seeing today, which is doubling from the invention of the wheel to where we are at the moment every 9 or 10 months, is going to accelerate even more. When you start to look at the possibilities in that acceleration, I mean, already in the energy areas, General Electric in the last month announced a new technology that can produce hydrogen from water at a cost where it can be sold for $3 a gallon equivalent to gasoline for the same price. You know, and that's the beginning of a technological direction that we're just starting to head down. There are solutions, and as these solutions manifest, they can free us rather than enslave us. Instead of 35% of our economy driven by energy prices, we can run that the other direction. If we put the money now into the research necessary for energy independence, we could solve these problems, reduce the cost of goods, not be facing inflation in the next decade, but quite the opposite, be facing a deflationary cycle based on energy cost reductions. Energy is the core, key element. Energy and information, transportation, and communication systems drive the modern world. And how we address those areas drives or determines our levels of freedom and independence. And today, we are all locked in to a grid of electromagnetic fields, whether they be, you know, think about this. 100 years ago, if you wanted to communicate with someone, the way you did it is you sent them a letter or you walked around town until you found them, because there weren't any telephones, there weren't any radios, there was no electronic means to do anything. And today, everything about us is dictated by the technologies that we surround ourselves with, and yet there's very little consideration until recent days about what happens to all the information, what happens to all of that data that comprises who we are today, or at least the reflections of who we are today. Technology and our transparency as individuals is increasing as technology increases. So people can look right through every aspect of our personal lives, yet the very government that's supposed to regulate and protect our privacy, you can't even look into anymore. It's becoming more and more opaque, more and more difficult to see through, and less genuineness, quite frankly. Government comes at you these days. It doesn't lift you up. And that needs to change, and I believe it can change. And I think that's where people are headed at this point in our history. We have the opportunity to turn this around, and we are at a threshold. You know, which way will it go? Who knows? I haven't given up, and I don't think most people listening to this station have given up. But it is a challenge, the challenge of the 21st century. And you're listening to the National Intel Report, and I'm sitting in for John Stadmiller, Dr. Nick Begich here.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
ever climbing as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, this is John Staffelman, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
And welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Nick Begich sitting in for John Stadmiller. And I have Ann in New Mexico. Are you still with me, Ann?
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Oh, I've heard you on various radio programs, including Coast to Coast and Sent for Your Literature, and you're doing a wonderful, wonderful job.
Well, thanks so much. You know, we've done a lot of radio over the years.
Yeah, I commend you. And Yahweh bless you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I wanted to comment on what you said, the transparency, you know, and all the surveillance that's coming out of DARPA and all of those agencies, Echelon and Carnivore, and only Yahweh knows what other programs are going on. I guess our esteemed president said, you know, we're doing it. We're going to continue to do it.
Right.
And I think what they want is transparency, just what you said. They want transparency from us. But if you look at the dollar bill, the eye of the devil has this brilliant light, you know, shining on us.
Right.
But we can't see into the light.
That's
right. You
know what
I mean? So they're we cannot see what they're doing, but they definitely want to see what we're doing. And but Yahweh's going to have the last word. If you read Psalm 2, that tells it exactly like it is.
Yeah.
And then the angel that tried for 21 days to get to Daniel said, and I do believe we're in the fourth kingdom, the fourth beast. This is Daniel 7:23.
Yeah.
Quote: the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And that's what this present kingdom is doing.
Yeah, you know, it is true. Unfortunately, you know, how this all shakes out in the end, I mean, remains to be seen. You know, prophecy is about warning, not condemnation. It's to tell us, hey, these things are going to come sooner or later. But when they come, you know, that's not up to us, but certainly we're paving the way. You know, I think that all of these things that were predicted will indeed come to pass. It may be this generation, it may be another one. But I think every generation has the opportunity to recognize the truth and turn a different direction, and this one does too.
Well, and that's the saints. Those that are in covenant with Yahweh must stand up, you know, and stand for the truth, who is a person in Yahshua HaMashiach. And with the truth in us, which is Ruach HaKodesh, we are empowered to do just that.
Absolutely. And I believe that is absolutely not just a calling, but an absolute requirement.
Oh, yeah.
Of human beings to respond to that inner voice that tells us, it is that God-given intuition that tells us what is right, what is good, and corrects us along the way if we listen to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have great opportunities. Human beings, you know, it was predicted that greater things you'll do also, and I believe that. And we have not seen that yet manifest itself on the planet, but it's due,
and
it's needed, and we're going to see more of it in every coming day.
We will, and Yahweh bless you.
Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the call, Ann.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been talking about technology issues, and you just can't escape getting into the issues of ethics, getting into the issues that drive moral considerations, and ultimately, you got to get down to dealing with what we are as created human beings. And you know what? The more I study science, the more convinced I am that blueprint is so fantastic, the creative blueprint of all that is. And yet, as we gain our understanding of it, therein lies some of those very principles that were predicted 2,000 years ago. Once you understand more of the creation, I think that's revealed only by one source. And as we gain that knowledge, we also get the opportunity through free will to use that technological knowledge for the advancement of humankind and what we are as created beings, or to suppress it. And that's, you know, that's where the 21st century is. At the beginning of this century, we have that opportunity to really see a very, very different world. You know, whether we see it in our lifetimes or not, whether this comes to pass or whether we see a continual spiral downward, I don't think we can lose heart or lose faith. I think we have to continue to make effort. And this is something I say often. As you know, it's not in the winning or losing all of the time. It's in knowing that you've at least stepped into the battle. You know, a lot of people you know, have the right ideas, have the right knowledge, but never act on that knowledge. And, you know, it's dead. You know, faith to me is a simple thing. It's stepping into what you know to be right and true and acting on it, putting some physical action with what your heart is telling you to do. Good things happen from that. There's millions of people in the world today doing that, and you don't have to wait for some club to organize or some group to organize. You're already in it. It's the human race, created in the image of the Creator. Exercise your birthright and do a little butt kicking occasionally in a good way. I mean, we can do that in this day and age, and we can do it with some confidence as to if we recognize again who we are. And too many interests are working against that recognition, because when people wake up to their own potentials and we begin to act on what we know to be right and true, things change, and they change fast and dramatically. And we have that opportunity to stimulate exactly some of that kind of change. You know, technology, when you start to think about sort of where it goes, the health professions, you know, when you think about what's going on with the genetic code, which is sort of the ultimate code for our physical appearance, but when you look at the chemical code, those codes that drive the processes within the body, and then you look at the energy code or the frequency code, the things that drive chemical reactions within the body, and you start to get into the essence of what drives everything. You know, everything in creation is created by atoms, which are these little particles of matter, most of which is just dead airspace or dead space between them, we can say. That's just empty space. Most of us, although we appear solid, have more empty space than we do solid matter. That's the way in which we're created, and energy affects that matter in very dramatic ways. And this is the essence of the health sciences and many of the leading breaking sciences that are taking place right now. The understanding of how matter is constructed and how it can be influenced on an energetic level is what our governments and what private sector have been working on in developing some of the greatest breakthroughs in science. I mean, it is an amazing transformation and the merging of the technologies based upon high levels of infrastructure, communication, transportation, energy, and communication systems are now facilitating an acceleration in knowledge that is creating huge breakthroughs. And those breakthroughs, depending on how they're used, will either be good or bad outcomes. And that depends on the heart and minds of human beings. And this is, again, where this whole issue of government transparency, that is a, you know, that's a pair of words that is in the national medias of European countries throughout Europe. The whole theme of government over there is surrounded around this idea of how do we create a more transparent government, a government people will trust because they can look into it, see how it operates. Well, at the same time, we're hearing the opposite. You know, how do we suppress the information flow so nobody knows what the heck is going on? And that is not what this democratic republic was ever designed to do. You know, the idea of being able to manage everybody's local affairs and being able to track every event is not necessary, nor is it useful. And quite frankly, the loss, what's gained is way more lost in that equation. And history has shown us that, is when you begin to suppress populations in an environment of fear, the outcomes are always bad. And fear is not what mankind was meant to respond to. And when you look at technology, what great opportunities. I mean, look around. If these opportunities served our interests instead of worked against our interests, what could be done? We need to reconsider what drives our economic engine. What moves to solutions is what really empowers people. If we can solve the energy problems, and we can. If we can solve some of the health, chronic health disorders, and we can. If we can solve some of the food production issues, which we can, there's no reason to accept scarcity as the outcome for the human race. Quite to the contrary, we have the ability to better use what we have been placed as stewards over and create a much better set of outcomes. In terms of technology, as a researcher, as someone who looks at technology trends, I can say what we have as opportunity is so much greater than it has ever been in the history of humankind. And yet we don't have any ability to see in the public domain the kind of debate that we need to see. And, you know, here we are on national radio having a conversation, and in fact international radio having a conversation, and these things aren't just happening within the territorial boundaries of the United States. They're also happening outside of our boundaries. Other countries are going through the same questions, the same issues, some in much, much less light than our own even. When you consider, for instance, I had mentioned in an earlier hour what was happening in Mexico, just south of our border. Over 200 people in the Attorney General's office now have GPS implants under their skin so they can watch their traffic and where they go and what they do. You know, and it's for their security, of course, and the security of their positions. But, you know, that kind of trade-off, you know, military personnel in foreign combat are given these implants in certain situations when they go into combat so we can track their movement, stress levels, and a lot of other factors about their health. And, you know, I mean, if I were in the military going into combat, I might want that technology. I mean, that way they could at least find me if something happened. But you don't get options in the military. You get orders in the military. And so consequently, what goes under your skin isn't your choice. It's someone else's. And these technologies, according to government records, including the Revolution of Military Affairs, are not just intended for military personnel. U.S. Army War College suggests it also be included for business travelers on the excuse that it's a volatile world. And after all, if something happens, we want to find all our citizens. It's for your own safety, after all. I mean, that's the excuse that we hear continually played, and whenever you hear it's for your own safety, after all, grab your wallet, hide your children, because they're coming at you again with some solution to usually a fictitious problem, or one certainly not in proportion to the risk. You know, the idea of freedom means there are a certain level of risks, and we all need to recognize that. But at the same time, when the trade-offs are being made, let's not do it in an environment of fear. and confusion. Let's do it in the clear light of day with an open government that allows us to look in and have a little better conversation. You know, here we are facing another crisis in this country, and it's our energy issues going into this coming winter. We're going to have a lot of seniors, a lot of people on fixed incomes freezing to death this winter. And that issue is not being addressed as a major national policy question, and it ought to be. It's going to affect millions of Americans this year. It should be the most important issue on the political agenda. And we're running around with a war on terror as people are going to freeze in the dark this winter. And people maybe die in the heat this summer because they can't afford the cost of energy at a time when energy solutions already exist. And we just don't have the national will because it's not in the special interest driving that national will to make those things happen right now. We need to make these issues that are important for all of us, the issues of the 21st century, we need to shove it down our congressional leaders' throats when they show up back in our home communities and start to demand real answers. You know, all of the things that set the energy policy for this present administration that have been requested and requested by the Congress, all of the meetings with the big energy muckety-mucks representing the corporate powers in the world, and we still can't get those White House reports on what happened in those energy policy meetings, but we can sure see the outcome. Oil companies have made more money than ever before in the history of any corporate structure. They are richer than most nations, generating revenues that are just unbelievable, and not one dime is being put into the kinds of research that could keep us out of the dependency. You know, they're taxing us for energy costs. We ought to be reconverting some of that tax into figuring out how to get out from under the thumb of the oil industry, both domestically and internationally, because that thumb has got control of way too much of the economy. And think about how volatile we've become because of it. All the U.S. dollars tied up by Middle Eastern countries because of the flow of dollars to buy energy. If those dollars ever dumped back in this economy, it would be over. If they combine those dollars with the dollars of the Chinese and the dollars of international drug traffickers, it would be over. The dollar wouldn't be worth the paper it was printed on. It wouldn't even be worth printing at its current denomination. We have become dependent on external interest, banking interests, because we no longer have control of the country and the technologies that drive modern institutions. And that's what we need to reclaim. It's the technology that will determine the level of freedom, the sovereignty of the individual, and the destiny of sovereign states around the planet in this century. And right now, the question is being answered not by us, but by bureaucrats hidden in closets, hiding behind national security, deciding for us what's good for us. And I think Americans are more than that. I think the populations around the world are more than that. And we have a right to take a look in, see what's going on with our government, and have an opportunity to assert ourselves and change some of these policy directions. You know, even George Bush the other day on the television news talking about how horrible it was that tapping and monitoring U.S. phone calls and looking at financial transactions, if that information be released, as if it were something new. That information has been released since at least 1998 and before in public documents around the world, including mainstream media reports and our own government's public releases of information. The only thing that came out was that they were doing it again, or doing it on a wholesale basis instead of just doing it selectively. There's nothing new in any of this technology or its application. It's just that they're doing it more overtly with little less cover, and then feeling righteous about it as if it were okay. And most Americans, unfortunately, at this point, still feel maybe it's okay. But that is changing, and we're starting to see that in the numbers, as people get a little more insecure with a government that is not very compassionate and has the ability to solve many of our domestic problems, and instead we're rebuilding infrastructures elsewhere. And, you know, it's technology, when you think about even the warfare environment that we're in, look at the technologies that we've been able to apply. At the same time, you know, here we are in the U.S., fighting some very difficult times and facing even more difficult times as this winter approaches. And we're not addressing those needs and those problems. And I think that's a mistake that many of us will agree has continually been made. You know, the idea that we have 800 military bases and installations scattered around the world, how many of those are really needed anymore? I mean, we can get anywhere almost instantly. Can't we pull some of that back? Can't we relook at how we operate, I mean, within the advent. I mean, we're not operating in World War One conditions where many of these bases were established, or World War Two, where many more were established. But things have changed. The ability to do things, the ability to reorganize our economy in a way where some of this money flows to building this country up again, to build up the infrastructures that made the country great, to build up the institutions of education at the local level and not some federal level. These are the things that make the country great. It's by an empowered, educated public, an informed public that can debate the issues, not by a paternalistic government that thinks they know what's best for us. And we've seen too much of it. We're coming up on the break. You're listening to Dr. Nick Begich, RBN Live. If you want to call in, the number is 800-313-9443.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com, or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Listening to the National Intel Report, and today sitting in for John is Dr. Nick Begich, and we've been talking about privacy issues, a number of other issues actually today. If you want more information on my material, you can get it at earthpulse.com, E-A-R-T-H-P-U-L-S-E, earthpulse.com. And we have a caller. We have one more caller staying online from Austin. Are you still with me, caller?
I'm with you.
All right. You had some comments you wanted to make.
Yeah, actually, I'm really sorry. I've missed most of your show today, but got out of my office late. But I guess one of the things that I would and please correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure you will, I respectfully disagree with respect to the whole business of the oil game. I, for one, have done enough reading in the last couple of years to come to really believe firmly that it's really not a question of developing new technologies that will replace oil, but rather this whole thing is rather a joke, isn't it? I mean, the whole idea that there isn't oil sufficient to support the planet and the growing economies of truly what will be our adversaries is kind of ludicrous, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, in terms of oil supplies, there's plenty of oil around. The problem isn't the supply. We did a show on energy and climate change a while back. It's archived on RBN Live. But the real choke points right now are refining and transportation. There's not enough tankers to haul the oil and not enough refineries, even if there were enough tankers to refine the oil that's being demanded. The Trans-Alaska Pipeline, for example, although it could be running at 2 million barrels a day, is only able to produce 1 million barrels a day for lack of tankers with double hulls to transport. And that has been known since the Exxon Valdez, that double hull tankers were going to be required for domestic, at least, shipping of oil. So you are absolutely correct, sir. It's not a shortage of oil, although the alternatives now are getting to where maybe they'll come into being and we won't be in this dependent situation. But to build tankers today or refineries today is a multi-year operation, so we can't solve it even if we turned on the pumps in the short run because of Asian demand for refined products.
Well, and I would agree with you. I certainly agree with that. The other thing, because we could have a long discussion about that, but the other thing that I would that kind of raised my hackles a little bit, although I do agree with you in spirit, I think. We spend so much money now, ostensibly, quote, on education.
Right.
And what's going on, and I'm a tail-end baby boomer, so I think I've got a pretty good perspective and enjoyed the luxury of some travel abroad.
Right.
In countries where children didn't have anything to eat. But as much money as we spend, we ought to be producing 75% of the world's white papers. And not 22
right.
or 25.
I agree with you.
Now.
It's not the money being spent. It's the efficiency of public education, which is poor and at best. And
now,
you know,
at best, you could call it that. But I think the underlying it, the more disturbing thing is that we're allowing, as we have in our judicial system here of late, and I mean in the last decade or so, maybe even longer, others outside
right.
of the American experience to dictate what we will be taught, what we will accept, and what we will be denied.
I agree with you. In fact, this topic is pretty important to me. I was once president of the Alaska Federation of Teachers, and as a teachers union president statewide in Alaska, I'm the only past president that's ever favored vouchers because I believe the public education system has failed. More than that, there's great opportunities that are coming. We'll deal with the education issue maybe next Wednesday, 11 a.m. Tune into my program, Changing the Way We See the World, and we'll cover it. Doctor, thanks for your call. We're at the end of the hour. Thanks for being with me. This has been Dr. Nick Begich on RBN Live.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.